This is Johnny B. Truant from the Self-Publishing Podcast. You're listening to the Practical Defense Podcast, where paranoia does more than just give you hypertension.
Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. And this is episode 268, Home Video Surveillance Cameras, Part 2. In the last episode, I addressed some questions regarding home security video cameras. This week, I'm going to continue that discussion by reviewing features and settings available on many camera systems. And again, I'm not going to recommend a specific brand or model. The goal is to equip everyone with some knowledge and understanding so that hopefully you can make a good purchase for your unique needs. So let's start with a little bit on how motion detection works with most cameras. These days, most of the cameras use a digital method of detecting motion. The cameras just compare images to see if there's been a change. The nice thing about this technology is that it is cheap and it doesn't rely on color or expensive sensors. If the image changes between shots, it means something that's moved into or out of the frame, and it starts recording. The downside is that any change, including change in light, will trigger a recording. It's not like heat sensors or infrared sensors that trigger on different types of things. So that means a plane flying overhead, suddenly darkening the field of view for a second, will trigger the system. Also, shadows from tree branches blowing in the wind will also trigger a recording. Now, night poses special problems. Now, depending upon the light source, anything that causes a shift in the light will trigger the system. For example, a neighbor turning into his or her driveway and the car's headlights move across the field of view will cause a trigger. If infrared light emitters are used to illuminate an area, all sorts of things can cause triggers. Bugs glow brightly under infrared. If the camera has built-in illuminators, they will attract the bugs who will fly directly at the camera. We may not be able to see the light, but bugs can, and it is as bright to them as a porch light. If you live in a high bug area, you might need a secondary illuminator, or two or three, to draw them away from the camera. It's not a huge issue for me in California in the desert, but if you live in, say, Arkansas, Virginia, or Georgia, bugs may be a huge problem. One of the most annoying things that I've experienced is when a spider decides to build a web right in front of the nice lights that's attracting all the bugs. So you have this nice triggering all night long of a spider blob building a web right in front of your camera. Another interesting problem, especially at night, is fog and rain. Water reflects the infrared light just like normal light that we can see, and with a slight breeze, it moves. So a shifting night fog or rain will cause the camera to trigger all night long. Fog isn't as much as a problem during the day because of the even blanket of sunlight. It's more of an issue from the directed light of an illuminator at night. Illuminating with standard lights works best in enclosed areas like porches, patios, and the sides of the home where the roof and walls can reflect the light. Areas that absorb the light into an open space are much harder to illuminate properly. I found that infrared illuminators give me better coverage and quality of image than my porch light on the front of my home. I'd have to light up the front of my house like a prison yard in order to get the same level of detail I get from a couple of LED illuminators. And just think of the cost savings in terms of your power bill. A couple of huge high-intensity lights or a couple of LED systems. On the other hand, the back patio and sides of my home work great with just a couple of compact fluorescent porch lights. Many cameras these days allow the configuring of a trigger area and the sensitivity. On my cameras, I can set three areas on the field of view to trigger. Sometimes these are called hotspots. This feature allows the user to configure the hotspots and that are important to cover and avoid problem areas such as trees or bushes that can blow in the wind, or streets and sidewalks that may have lots of traffic to trigger the cameras. The sensitivity settings take a lot of work to get right. And again, night is more of a problem than day. With the bright sunlight covering everything, the sensitivity doesn't need to be that high to capture people moving into the field of view. However, at night, it's a totally different story and requires a higher setting. Finding that balance between not triggering too much and getting enough to catch people is really tough. There are several instances where my front camera did not trigger on people walking up to my front door to ring the doorbell at night, but still triggered on bugs and skunks. Yeah, that really kind of pissed me off. After speaking with technical support, they gave me a good solution that's worked. Instead of grabbing a large trigger field with a moderate sensitivity, they recommended a series of strips in a high sensitivity. I placed these narrow bands in strategic locations that must be crossed in order to approach the house. Each strip successively closer to the house has a higher sensitivity. This has helped cut down the number of false triggers at night while providing excellent protection. Before we close, I have a caution about infrared illuminators. Not all illuminators are made equal. Each model runs on a specific frequency, and what you need to do is you need to make certain that your illuminator works with the frequency of your camera. If they're not matched, the illuminator you buy might not provide any light visible by your camera's light sensors. That's a critical tidbit of information that's not always readily available. You might need to dig deep into the technical specifications of your devices to be certain of compatibility. Well, that's it for this week, but next week we're going to cover indoor and outdoor cameras, wiring, power, and window considerations. And if there's enough time, I might actually look into some other areas like home cameras connected to home DVRs. As always, you can follow my daily tips on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, I'm Practical Def, and Facebook is Practical Defense. If you're thinking about a career in private security in California, we have a fully accredited and fully online program. We have the best material and the lowest prices. Visit our website at palladiumonlinesecurity.com for all of the details. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@palladium-education.com. You can also leave us a voicemail on the Practical Defense Tip or Comment line at 805-203-6586. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe.
The legal aftermath of using a gun in self-defense can be traumatic and expensive. Get help and peace of mind through the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. Network members receive much-needed financial and legal support right after a self-defense incident. They also receive education in the form of DVDs from some of the top names in the business, along with having access to a nationwide pool of attorneys. Learn about membership at www.armedcitizensnetwork.org.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro-Second Amendment, pro-gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
Practical Defense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, tips, comments, or topic suggestions, send us an email at podcast@palladium-education.com. That's podcast@palladium-education.com. Or leave us a voicemail at 805-203-6586. I look forward to hearing from you. Practical Defense Podcast and theme music are copyright Palladium Education Incorporated.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under Sources.